Luke chapter 10 is our scripture reading this morning, and we'll read it in a moment, but in Luke chapter 10 is one of my favorite scenes with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny, I've been going back reading through the life of Jesus Christ, and if you really think about it, some of the most amazing scenes in scripture is when the Lord Jesus would be a guest in someone's home. You can mark it down every time our Savior was invited in as a visitor, something profound, something powerful, and something very important would occur. And when Jesus comes into your home, amazing things happen, doesn't it? And that is the case here in the house of Martha. You know, I honestly kind of feel bad for her, because she tends to be beat up a lot by preachers, by sermons, and by literature, and I'm actually a little sorry for her. She's not some terrible or wicked woman. She wanted Christ in her home. She was serving, and she wanted to be productive. The truth is, she gets picked on a lot because she was simply experiencing something that we all go through in this life. Thankfully, we have the Word of God and this testimony of Jesus Christ to help us learn what Martha did. And I hope it'll be an encouragement and a blessing to all of you. There are three things we see in this morning's passage. And the first we see is, number one, Martha's situation. Her situation. Look at verse 38 of chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. The important thing to note here is that word, cumbered, which means to be dragged around or beset with heavy care. Her situation was that she was being weighed down and yet pulled in all sorts of directions. And because of that, she was not having a very good time, was she? She was weary and she was stressed. And I just realized that if there's a more appropriate sermon for Mother's Day, this is probably it. But that sounds like something we all go through, doesn't it? And on top of all these things, she was doing it completely and utterly alone and in all her own strength. She was cumbered. That's quite the situation. What Martha was experiencing is what we all go through, which is trying to serve God in the energy of the flesh. In the midst of this quarantine, we have heard time and time again a phrase that has been a very terrible and damaging lie. It's something that the media and celebrities and the elite have tried to hammer into our minds the last few months. And that term is the new normal. Have you heard that? The new normal. It's the idea that this very temporary, very unhealthy, very damaging way of life is just going to be the way things are from now on. Just the way things are. And while they can try and decide what is and what isn't acceptable, the fact is there will be some things that never have been nor ever will be normal. But more than just the unhealthy habit of laying around and watching Netflix all day, there are eternal truths that never change no matter what age we live in. It will never be normal for a child of God to live without prayer. It will never be normal for a Christian to try to please God without faith. And it will never be normal for a child of God to live the Christian life in their own strength. It is impossible to please God without faith, yes, but it is also impossible to serve God in the flesh. We constantly hear that these are unprecedented times. Have you heard that? These are unprecedented times, which is true. But also not. Because mankind has faced these trials many times before, and we will face them again. But the precedent lies on how we react in this day, in this age. How we respond to the time of history that we live in, which presents an opportunity, an unprecedented one. We have been given a chance to show the love, the joy, and the strength of God to a broken nation in a time where they need it the most. But the question is, who will we be in this day? Will we be like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, content and resting in his strength? Or will we be like Martha, who, yes, serving, but striving and suffering under the weight of the world, cumbered with care? The other thing you have to remember, by the way, is that when you are cumbered, you are also crippled. Serving God in your own strength will cause your service itself to suffer. I remember my first job as a kid. No, it wasn't McDonald's, I'm sorry. Was mowing lawns. And I have very extreme eczema, very severe, especially back in those days. So it probably wasn't the smartest thing to mow lawns in South Florida. But I did it for a very dear man and a friend of the family who was a retired preacher. And he suffered a terrible stroke. It was very quite helpless. And so I agreed to help mow the lawn. And by the way, the money was very good too, I have to be honest. But I loved him dearly, and I was excited to get started. And the money was good, and I thought, man, if I save up for enough every month, I could get a Nintendo 64 game every single month. I was excited. I'll get Star Fox 64, and if you don't know what that is, that's okay. But for me back then, that was very, very exciting. So I was pumped. I was ready. I had strength. I had joy. I had zeal. And, you know, I didn't just mow the lawns, by the way. I did the weed whacker. I went in behind the wood fence with tiny little blades of grass. And there was this thing, I don't even remember what it's called, an edger, I think, where you basically take this little tiny device and you have to start it 50,000 times because it's gas operated. And you just get the little edges between your driveway and the grass. I mean, I did it all. And man, I was excited. But then, the summer happened. And the Florida heat started to press upon my poor, weak, little young body. And I started to sweat. And I started to crack and bleed. And every week as I returned to that place, I just wasn't quite as excited as I was before. Eventually, all that joy just faded away. And now I was just going through the motions, absolutely done with life. And one fateful day, I was pushing the mower, not paying attention, because again, my heart wasn't in it anymore. And I rammed right into a water spigot sitting out of the house. And I just clean ripped it off. And of course, looking down, it just went, the water just started flushing. And I'm a kid. Okay, I thought I literally broke his house. So I'm panicking. And I don't know what to do. It's like the house is going to flood. He has a golden retriever. He's going to die. My life is over. I'm going to jail. I don't know. So first I try to plug it up with my hand. Real smart, by the way. That didn't work. So then I thought, oh, Andy, you're so silly. All I have to do is put the water spigot and put it back. No, that didn't work. So now the panic sets in. So I did what any young boy would do. I ran screaming home for Dad in a panic. So Dad calls Brother Eisenbach, and he comes out. And in typical Mr. Sam Eisenbach fashion, he looks at the flooding, rushing water, and he just starts laughing and goes, what did you do? I was like, this isn't funny. And of course, he takes a loaf of bread and shoves it into the hole. I'd never thought to do that, but that stopped the water. So after some time, they finally fixed it, and one of the most traumatizing moments of my childhood was over. I didn't get fired. Thankfully, I was continued to work. But what's funny is all of that trauma and all of that terror, I was in terror, all of that fear could have been avoided if I simply had my heart in what I was doing, if my heart was still in my service, but it wasn't. The question is, are you going through the motions this morning? Are you serving? Are you working? Are you sacrificing? But you are finding yourself losing more and more of your strength, of your patience, and of your joy. Stop trying to do everything in the energy of the flesh. I got news for you. If you do, you're never going to make it. I'm never going to make it. Seek God for his strength, for his wisdom, for his patience, for his peace, and he will give it to you. And it will not make your toils and your tribulations just suddenly disappear. Paul asked three times to let this affliction pass from him. But God did not say, yes, done, and the affliction was gone, did he? No, he said, my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. When you seek God, it may not make your troubles disappear, but when you seek him, you will receive the strength to endure them, to overcome them, and to do it all in the joy of the Lord. But guess what? You have to seek him. You have to ask him. And you have to trust in him. That was Martha's situation. And you have to remember, too, Martha didn't really do anything physically wrong at all. Everything she was doing, there's nothing wrong with it at all. But it was what she said that revealed her heart, which leads to, number one, we see her situation, but number two, we see Martha's accusation. Look at verse 40 again. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. That's the critical word, troubled. She went from being distracted to distressed, from anxiety to anger. Burdens and sufferings always tend to create a target, don't they? We want to focus our frustrations on someone or something. The problem is when we are troubled, we always come to the wrong conclusion. You know what the real problem was? Martha's priorities were wrong. If your heart is not right, you will never be in your right mind. Where your heart goes, your mind will follow. Our young people have been reading through the Old Testament this past year, and they can tell you through their reading that those who have wrong priorities always lead to wrong thoughts, which lead to wrong actions. Cain, Lot, Saul, Ahab. Time and time again, we see what happens when people put their priorities in something other than the Lord. And the problem again is when you're troubled, you begin to think things that are frankly just not true. Martha said, dost thou not care? That is quite an accusation. How on earth could she ever think that the Savior of the world does not care about her? It's because your mind can go to dark places when your heart is already there. This world is full of Christians who, having no faith, have thought this same thing of the Lord. And that's because they do things in their own strength. And when they fail in their own strength, then the accusations come. They are cumbered. And because of that, they are troubled. That is why we have the promises of God. In times where we fall short, in times where we do not have the strength, in times where we have no idea where our life is headed next, he is there, and despite what Martha says, yes, he does care. Peter said to cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. That is a promise from God's holy word. In times of doubt, in times of sorrow, in times of weakness, remind yourself of the amazing words of God's holy book. What Christ has said to you. Which leads to the final lesson you see in this text. The Lord actually had an answer. Do you know that? He had an answer to Martha's accusation. And it's very important to all of us this morning. First we see Martha's situation. And then her accusation. But finally we see, number three, Christ's proclamation. Verse 41 again. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This is a very interesting statement. You know, God doesn't usually say a lot of things are needful. He doesn't use that word often. One thing is needful. In fact, that's what man does. You have to do this. You need to do that. You need to wear a mask. You need to stay indoors. You need to do this or that, right? You can't go here. You can't go there. But Christ says one thing is needful. What I need, what you need, is fellowship with God. What we need is a relationship. And you notice in this account that Jesus did not grant Martha's request. Do you realize that Martha was actually asking for something? She wasn't just shouting accusations at him. She wanted something. She wanted some help. Has your mom ever asked you that before? Or your mom said, can I get a little help here? Hands full, right? And Martha's like, can I get some help? And gives you that mom look, you know, like, are you just going to stand there? And did Jesus say, hey, Peter, get up. Stop moping all the time. Go help Martha. Her hands are full, poor thing. Is that what happened? No. Christ's proclamation was what she wanted, was not what she needed. What she needed was one person, one source of strength, that good part. That good part from whence all peace and joy and help comes from. You know that word again that we talked about? It means, again, to be dragged around or pulled in many different directions. Martha was distracted. And I can think of no greater mirror of myself, and I'm sure many here, than with her example. The hard question, though, is how many things do we have in our life that takes us away from that good part? I personally believe the greatest problem with our country, spiritually speaking, is simply because we are so distracted. We are so cumbered. It could even be distracted with service. You know, notice service to the Lord is still a burden. Did you know that? It's a burden. It still leads to a troubled mind when we forget that good part. Most of us serve. Most of us here, we are around the Savior. We may hear his voice here and there in the midst of serving, but all too often he is drowned out by our friends, by our family, by our schedule, our priorities, our activities, and our own selfish thoughts. I remember one thing with my mom, which was a very precious memory, but I actually got in big trouble, but a lot of good memories are what happens when you get in trouble with your mom, right? But mom loved flowers, absolutely loved flowers all the time. And I shared it. I shared that love of it, and I always humored her. Well, one day we had a fun day together out down in North Lake. And North Lake was amazing back in the day, okay? They had Circuit City. They have Arby's. They have Taco Bell. Yes, I know. Don't judge me. I love it, okay? And we spent the day there, and we were running some errands, and right by Taco Bell and Arby's, right past it, was a car dealership, still there. And there was these beautiful flowers in bloom. They're called Fabiolas. Do I know what those are? No, I never knew what they were before in my life, but they were Fabiolas. And Mom just absolutely loved them. Almost stopped the car, got us in a car accident, said, Andy, look at those beautiful Fabiolas. Aren't those beautiful? Andy, look, aren't those beautiful? Wow. And me, being a typical boy, a typical son, and many of you have done this to your mother, to be honest, I wasn't paying attention, all right? I was not paying attention to the words my mother was speaking to me. So I just sat there in my own mind thinking about my own important things. I was like, uh-huh, yeah, Mom, that's great. Yeah, those really pretty flowers. Now, my mom, being the spunky woman that she is, and not going to let something slide like that, decided to do something I think most moms did. She called me out. And she says, do you like the Fabiolas? Oh, yeah, real pretty, Mom. Yeah, sure. What color were they? Oh. She called me out. So I figured, okay, I have a 1 in 6 chance to get this right. How many colors are in the rainbow? So I might get this right. So I said, they were red, really red. And then my mom started to laugh so hard. She couldn't stop herself. She was laughing and laughing and laughing. It's like, I think I got it wrong, by the way. And then she looked at me with a smile on her face and said, nice try. And they were purple, by the way. But from that moment on, every time my mom knew that I was not paying attention to what she was saying, she would stop and say, hey, Andy, what? Fabiolas. And I knew exactly what that meant. That means you are not paying attention. Now, thankfully, I got to redeem myself, and she took me back there one day, and I saw their beautiful purple flowers. But the damage was done, and that was always a sweet memory. Every time I would not be paying attention, she'd say, Andy, Fabiola's. I knew. And that's a sweet memory. But you may think, you know, that's kind of lame. What's the big deal? It's just flowers. What's the big deal? I thought that back as a teenager. What's the big deal? You know what it was? My mom was trying to share with me something that she loves. She was trying to show me something beautiful. There's many moms here today can tell you when your kids are not listening, they just want you to listen, kids, because your mom wants to have a relationship with you. She wants to have fellowship with you. And that's what my mom wanted. But I was too busy in my own selfish thoughts. Do you know what it means when Mary said, or it says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet? Is there something special about sitting on the ground? I'm not going to do it. I can't get back up. Is there something special about that? Is it the location? Is it the position? No. It was significant because sitting at Jesus' feet means that Jesus Christ has your full and undivided attention. Everyone and everything else blurs into the distance. You are looking at him. You are listening to him. And you just want to sit and talk with him. It's called a relationship. It's called fellowship. And there are many who name the name of Jesus Christ, yet they forget that good part. How about us today? There's coming a time when our country's doors will open wide once again. Tomorrow, Palm Beach County begins phase one. I love these phases. Phase one, right? But when we emerge from our homes, when we emerge from our bunkers, not the Kumo one, the fake one, okay? When we emerge from our homes, what is the world going to see from Beacon Baptist Church? Are they going to see servants simply going back to the status quo? Working and serving, yes, but also cumbered about with so many distractions. Striving in the energy of our own flesh. Or will we be people like Mary? Will they see people like her, children of God, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, choosing that good part? I'll say this and I'll be done. The world needs to see, now more than ever, a people who choose not just to serve God, but people who choose to walk with him. There are so many things, especially in today's world, that can take our eyes away from the Lord, even good things. But we must learn the lesson, as Martha did, that all we could ever want and that all that we could ever need is at the feet of our wonderful Savior. Cast your care on him today. Place your trust in him today. Seek his strength. Seek his wisdom. And in doing so, we can serve, yes. And we can walk in the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we can share him with the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And that these are not just stories that we recount, things we remember hearing as a child, but these are accounts, testimonies of the truths of living the Christian life in your will, in your walk, and in your fellowship. I ask, Lord, in my own heart, and all of us here this morning, you press upon us the one thing that is needful, the words of Jesus Christ himself that Martha heard in her ears, that we must choose that good part. To walk with you. Thank you for this time together. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.